Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Across the border in a long time. I mean, we spent a fortune on technology, and if you want to come to America illegally, don't waste your time going across the border and through the desert. It's dangerous. Just get in an airplane, fly here, and overstay your visa. We have absolutely no ability to check who you are and get you back. So, and the total number of undocumented in this country has been going down for a long time.
Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender.
Is the Savage Nation. You just listen to the traitor turncoat mayor of New York City encouraging illegals to come here and overstay their visa. But that's not as bad as it gets. It gets even worse. We're now going to play a soundbite on the Savage Nation of Rupert Murdoch, who is the owner of the so-called Fox News channel, the so-called conservative alternative on the dial. And you're going to find out what the so-called socialist conservative Rupert Murdoch thinks about illegal immigration. Listen to this.
I mean, it's true where there's been a flood of illegal immigrants in Southern California or in some of the southern states. There is a sort of a nativist group who doesn't want any more or wants to send them all back. But really, it would not take much courage for the Republican candidate or his deputy to ignore them and ride right over them, because they're not going to vote for
ride
them.
Right over them. Ride right over the nativists. So now you understand why Murdoch's minions, the wallbanger and the leprechaun, would rather have pimps and murderers on the show than anyone who disagrees with them. And anyone who's actually a nationalist, someone who believes in borders or language or culture, is anathema to the faux news channel. Now you understand why, because the boss himself is pro-Obama. Murdoch, Rupert Murdoch, is in favor of Obama. He just said so. He just told illegal aliens they are welcome to come to America. He just told the Republican Party to ignore so-called nativists, which is the entire core base of the Republican voter bloc, incidentally. But the fact of the matter is there is no conservative element inside the Republican Party. I don't think you know that. I don't think you understand that the word Republican does not mean conservative. What you have to understand is that even Mitt Romney represents the socialist-minded elites. I don't think you understand that. And you have to also understand that although I will vote for Romney Ryan, the communist left in the Democrat Party differs ever so slightly from the socialist left in the Republican Party on issues such as immigration, but on many other issues. But the fact of the matter is, Ryan is, I say, a good man, but adding Ryan to the ticket would be like spicing up Wonder Bread with white rice. Or if you want to spice up white bread, you add some a little more white flour. That's what they just did. So what shall I ask you? What shall I ask you that you don't already know? You're jaded. You're tired. You're bored. You wish the election was over. You don't know which way to turn. Why do you think Rupert Murdoch wants illegals in America? We know why Bloomberg wants illegals in America. We know why they spit in your face and why they laugh at you and tell you that you should be dismissed. Do you think that the number of American people who oppose illegal aliens, meaning those who uphold the law, are really that much of a minority? Why do you think that Murdoch and the billionaire, the other billionaire, now remember, these are two billionaires. What do Bloomberg and Murdoch have in common? Certainly not religion. What Murdoch and Bloomberg have in common is money. They're both billionaires. So why do billionaire elitists have such a contempt for so-called nativists, such as myself, incidentally, the son of an immigrant, who believes in respecting the law, who believes in supporting borders, language, and culture? Why would Moloch and Bloomberg want illegal aliens in America when you know and I know Obama's entire hope is to register as many illegals as he can in time for the election so they can fraudulently steal the election? On an international front, it's getting very dangerous. Ahmadinejad, the Hitler of our time, says Israel will soon be destroyed. Iran says Israel's existence is an insult to all humanity. A cleric, so-called, in Saudi Arabia says Jews consume the blood of children. Not one word from the degenerates at the United Nations. I would throw the entire UN out of New York City if I had the power. I would just throw them out of the city. I would turn the entire complex into a homeless center. I'd get rid of all of the people in the UN. They're worthless. They seem to be on the side of the anti-Americans, anti-Semites, and anti-human beings. It's unbelievable to me. Yes, I know that the Tea Party is the conservative wing of the Republican Party. And I know the two Tea Party candidates just completely savaged the Republican candidates who thought that they were going to, you know, be able to triangulate the Tea Party. I understand that. But it's getting worse by the day. When you see Romney refusing to address conservatives and picking a guy who's a fiscal conservative, yes, but probably another social liberal. I would think Ryan is another social liberal, which is why he passed the Romney white bread test. Those who bake Wonder Bread and baked us the Romney cake saw that Ryan would fit perfectly. He's not even a raisin. They didn't even pick a raisin to put into the Wonder Bread. They didn't even put a nut to put inside the Wonder Bread. They want no fiber inside the denuded white bread of the Republican Party under Romney. They want doughy white bread. They want absolutely no whole grain. They don't even want a scintilla of a nut or a raisin in there. Nothing. They don't want even a grape nut in there. There's no grapes in the grape nut flakes. Why do they want illegal aliens? Ask yourself that. Answer. What are you going to say that I don't know already? Now, many of you are mad at me because I said that Putin did something I agreed with. Is that he had the hooligans arrested, the Russian punk rockers arrested, and they were given 2 years in jail. I believe they deserve 2 years in jail, and I'll tell you why. Remember what these rats did. These three disgusting rats jumped up on the dais, as it were, the altar, excuse me, of the most holy church in Russia. And remember, they take their religion much more seriously than Americans do. The Russian Orthodox Church is a very important element of Russian life. And these rats jumped up on the stage and used a crucifix in an obscene manner. Why shouldn't they be given 2 years in jail? What kind of country do you want to live in? The country we're living in, which has been turned into a farce? A farce by these elites like Bloomberg, Obama, Murdoch, and all the rest of them? They stand for nothing but profit, 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 profit. They care nothing about a nation's pride, which, as I said to you, in trickle-down tyranny, armies can be rebuilt, they can be repopulated, but once a nation's pride is gone, it can almost never be restored. These men hate this country. They despise this nation. So, it's Friday, and I understand that, you know, you don't want to get too excited. We know that Obama is the most corrupt president in American history. We know that this Democrat Party is the most corrupt Democrat Party since Tammany Hall. Tammany Hall was once a corrupt New York City Democrat machine. Now we have the most corrupt equivalent of Tammany Hall on a federal level. It's never been like this, not in my lifetime. Can anyone name an administration more corrupt than this one? Tell me which administration was more corrupt than this one. Here in San Francisco, which is the most corrupt city in the United States of America, with no oversight by anybody. There's a subway to nowhere being dug from Chinatown, from Union Square to Chinatown to North Beach. All of the business owners in this Italian neighborhood of North Beach opposed the subway dig because it's not only going to disrupt their business, it's going to wreck the entire neighborhood, the quaint neighborhood. Well, it turns out that it's the Democrat machine that is behind tearing up this quaint Italianesque village in San Francisco, perhaps the most charming village left in a major city in the United States of America. It is the very same Democrats who feast inside the Italian restaurants of North Beach, who are in fact making hundreds of millions of dollars in graft behind the scenes in order to destroy the neighborhood. They have no limit to how much they will rob. I won't name names because you can look it up on the internet. One of them is the husband of a very powerful U.S. senator. This very same husband got a $500 million contract to supply medical equipment in Iraq. It turns out he supplied faulty medical equipment in Iraq, and many of our soldiers died as a result. This was while his wife was on a Senate Appropriations Committee. You talk about government bidding, bid rigging. You talk about corrupt contracting. You have no idea the depths to which these people will go to make another buck. You haven't any idea. Many years ago, there was a great play written by the playwright Arthur Miller, who married Marilyn Monroe. You may know him that way. I don't know if people remember Arthur Miller. But he wrote a great radio play called All My Sons, and it was about a contractor in World War II who made defective pistons in a contract for the Defense Department that went into fighter planes. And it turns out one of his own sons flew the fighter plane and died in the crash because the engine blew up from his father's faulty pistons. We have the very same thing going on right now, but we don't have any Arthur Millers. There are no playwrights left. There are no writers left willing to take on this corrupt, evil Democrat machine. I mean, all we heard about was Halliburton, 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 Halliburton. And we know that Dick Cheney's cronies made billions of dollars on fraudulent contracts in Iraq. Everybody knows that. But did you hear one whisper of the amount of corruption in contracting in Iraq and in Afghanistan from Democrats? You haven't heard one word about it. Why? We no longer have a free press in this country. They own it lock, stock, and barrel. The San Francisco newspaper disappeared a long time ago. The television stations are absolutely worthless. They report nothing except what they're spoon-fed. So where are the investigative journalists? Well, there's a fictionalized investigative journalist. His name is Jack Hatfield. He is the character in my novel, Abuse of Power. Incidentally, available in paperback. And you know what happened to Jack Hatfield as a result of standing up to the machine? Jack was banned in Britain. And you know the rest of that story, don't you? I'll be right back.
Savage.
There's a moon out tonight.
It is Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation. Agencies, federal agencies, tamp down speculation over their hollow point ammo purchases. A message on the official blog for Social Security's Inspector General said, our special agents need to be armed and trained appropriately. Of course, the Weather Service also bought hollow point ammo. The Social Security Administration bought 174,000 rounds of 357 SIG 125 grain bonded jacketed hollow point pistol ammo. I guess that's to... I guess in case the elders riot, if their benefits should be cut back, they can always gun them down like in South Africa. They can then give the Social Security Administration officials guns, and they can tell them to shoot anyone who complains about a cutback in Social Security. What country on earth, what sane country on earth would not be alarmed? What citizenry in what sane democracy on earth would not be alarmed when they read that a criminal organization like the Obama administration is arming every agency to the teeth with hollow point ammunition? Tell me what country on earth would have a citizenry that wouldn't be alarmed right now. Tell me. What else is in the news? Corruption. Your skin is your sin. White cops sue over demotion from Rahm Emanuel protection detail. Black cops said today, white guys, your skin is your sin. That's the new America under Rahm Emanuel. Your skin is your sin. He didn't even hire cops. He hired people who volunteered for his campaign. So, we don't know who they are. Nobody knows who they are. They could be members of the Nation of Islam. We have no idea. They could be members of the Southern Poverty Law Center. They could be members of the ACLU who are being given guns. We have no idea who is protecting Rahm Emanuel. No way to know it. But why would a government buy hollow point bullets? They don't need them for target practice. You shoot paper, you don't need a bullet that expands inside a body and tears up organs. Why would the Social Security Administration need hollow point ammunition? Why would the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration need 46,000 rounds of such ammunition? Why? Nobody has an answer to that. The government is buying hollow point ammunition. Any sane citizenry would be questioning why and demand an answer. But you're never going to get an answer from the Department of Homeland Security. That sorority house is not in business for you. That sorority house is in business to basically keep you in line. That's right. It's in business to keep you in line. You would think that Fox News under Rupert Murdoch would be investigating this, but Murdoch's in favor of illegal immigration. Sneers at you nativists. Mayor Bloomberg, the soda man, the nanny man who wants to ban milk. Now he wants to ban 32-ounce sodas, and he wants to ban cans of formula in hospitals. He wants to encourage every mother to nurse. It's beyond belief. You talk about the nanny state. I mean, this is becoming beyond the nanny state. We could call it the granny state. We could call it many other things, but there's something crazy about this man in New York City. But he's not the man ordering the hollow point ammunition. You got to give Bloomberg credit for that. No. Would you say that this is the most corrupt administration in American history? Which was more corrupt? Grant was pretty corrupt, wasn't he, Beowulf? General Grant? Huh? Yes. After Grant won the Civil War, he became one of the most ruthless, corrupt presidents in American history. But there's no excuse for this administration to be this corrupt. They didn't win any war, did they? What war did they win? Well, there's no opposition. When you own the press, you can get away with anything. When you own Murdoch, when there's no opposition press, that's the point I'm making. If Murdoch comes out as a liberal, which he did during this immigration hearing, then you understand that ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, and Fox are actually one and the same. They're all the devil's workshop.
Savage.
Wonder who wrote the book of love. Tell me who wrote the book of love.
It is the Savage Nation Rock and Roll Friday. If you care to join the conversation, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. If you pass Doug's call screening, you'll talk to more people than you've probably met for your entire life. So be prepared. Here's what's trending now. Here's where Iran calls Israel's existence an insult to all of humanity, and the degenerates at the United Nations say nothing. The useless degenerates in the UN say nothing. You know, I walk past children now playing, and I envy them. I look at children, I'm starting to envy the innocence of children. When I see how evil the world is, I don't know if it's more evil or I'm more conscious of it. I mean, I'm not a child, but I've been around looking at the news a long time. Am I imagining that it's gotten worse than ever? Am I imagining that people are meaner and that there's more evil in the world than there has been in your entire life, in my life? I don't know. That's why, I mean, I look at children, I hear their innocence and their playful sounds, and I just hearken back to being a child when you don't even realize how evil really evil is. Children get hurt over little things, but they don't understand what the world really is. That's why they have to be protected by their parents at all costs. The parents have to protect children with their lives. There's such evil out there. And the animals. I have the same feeling for the elephants and the gorillas. In a few weeks, I'm going to be hosting a man from one of the animal protection groups. They protect elephants in Africa. And we've invited him out. I'm going to give him a grant now that I've got my mind is on helping the animals again, because there's no worse scene in my mind than seeing a mountain gorilla with his paws cut off by those vermin in Africa, or elephants that are shot for their ivory so some old degenerate in China could have some potion to give them a little more potency. You know, I would arrest them for using anything with the tusks of elephants or rhinoceroses. If we had a useful UN, it's worthless. Worthless. They'd hunt people down to use this stuff, and they'd arrest them for 20 years. so they stopped the poaching. But I said to this guy, I said, I'm only going to give you a grant, of a donation, if the money goes specifically to anti-poaching squads with AK-47s and they kill the poachers. I want them to go. They have such groups, by the way, in Africa who are licensed to go out and kill poachers who hunt elephants. And I believe they're in Rwanda. I'm not exactly sure which country the elephant, poor elephants are hiding in now. But they have squads of men who are armed to go out and kill the poachers. My fear, though, and I'm very cynical about this, is that the anti-poachers are related to the poachers, and that the anti-poachers and poachers are actually working against, you know, are killing the elephants. That's what scares me. How would I really know? I'm not going to go out there and work with the anti-poachers. And speaking of elephants for 1 minute, because I have such a what wonderful animals they are. What wonderful animals they are. This man told me that one of my listeners heard me talk about elephants with such passion that she donated her entire estate to their fund. Would you believe this? I don't know who she is. I don't know how much she left. But it's a wonderful thing to think that I could have such a positive influence on my listeners in that manner. So today I come into the city a little earlier. I'm coming into the city more and more. And the destruction of North Beach is really killing me. They killed a business up there. It's like a ghost town during the day. So I go up to my friend Lorenzo in the North Beach restaurant. As you well know, he's a friend of mine, and I've written about him in Abuse of Power. In the next book, he's going to have an alias because he may not like what I write about him. But I go in there, and I'm on my vegetarian kick. He says, oh, you're eating vegetarian now? I said, yes, I'm starting with this meal, and I'll probably end it with this meal. He took a big laugh. So I had a salad, then I had my eggplant with no cheese. And I tell him about my elephant work, you know. So in his own way, he says, let me tell you an elephant story, because his donkey just died. I forget the donkey's name. He's talked to me about the donkey. He's 32 years old. He used to imitate him for me in the restaurant. I'd break up with laughter. He loved this donkey who lived near his ranch in Sonoma. And I heard that the donkey died. Jake. The donkey's name was Jake. I mean, I actually got sad when I heard the donkey died. He said, oh, in his last months, he was skinny as a rail. I said, it sounds like he had cancer, like a person. 32-year-old donkey just laid down in the field. They hauled him off with a backhoe and buried him. He said, it's just a donkey. Well, some people get attached to animals. He used to feed him carrots from his garden. He's a man of the earth. So anyway, he said, let me tell you about elephants. He says, there's a group that started a refuge for elephants in Tennessee. And he said they had elephants they rescued. They put them on the ranch. And he said a dog showed up on this ranch out of nowhere. The dog shows up and just became part of the ranch and hung out with the elephants. And the elephants loved the dog, and the dog loved the elephants. And the dog lived there for 7 years with the elephants, the stray. And then the dog died. And the owners of the refuge buried the dog on the refuge. And he said the elephants come to the dog's grave every year and gather around that dog's grave every year. I said, they're better than people. He said, when I read it, I cried. He said, when I read it, I cried. He said, well, I know it takes a big man to feel anything at all. Men like to think they don't feel anything, but it's one of the most touching stories I've heard in a long time. Why did the elephants love the dog? How do I know why? But they're more loyal than most people are today. They're much more loyal than most people are today, which is why I say you have to protect the innocent. That includes the children, and that includes animals such as the elephants and gorillas who are being mercilessly slaughtered on this planet. And they're slaughtered for the vermin who use these potions in China mainly, so they can get an erection for 10 more seconds. Sickening, sickening, sickening. I can't blame Obama for the death of the elephants or the gorillas, unfortunately. But at least I can tell you the story. I don't know if he's an animal rights activist. I wouldn't call myself an animal rights activist. I'd say I'm an animal conservationist. All right, let's move on. I know you want to talk about Romney, Obama, Biden. They're keeping Biden under control. They're watching the man's lips. It's like loose lips sink parties. They got him under a tight leash right now. Biden handlers keep close tabs on vice president's comments and coverage. White cops sue over demotion from Rahm Emanuel's protection detail because they were told by a black cop, your skin is your sin. How do you like that under Obama and Rahm Emanuel? Nice people. Really good people, huh? Your skin is your sin. is this the most corrupt administration in American history? Can anyone listening to the show who knows history tell me of a more corrupt administration? Let's go to John in Pennsylvania. John, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Good afternoon, Dr. Savage. Concerning your comments earlier about Tammany Hall, I'd be a little bit inclined to agree with the parallels that could be drawn between Obama
and... John, you're not coming in clear. I don't take any calls there because I know what the listeners are hearing, nothing. It sounds like you're talking inside a glass. So have them call back. Guys, don't screen people for me who no one can hear. Do me a favor, okay? Wisconsin, Diane, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi. Do you think Nixon was more corrupt?
Well, we could blame him for the solar contracts. We could blame Nixon for bailing out General Motors. We could blame Nixon for printing money, if you'd like.
The only thing is, I'm more afraid of this administration than I was of Nixon's.
Okay, why don't you name the five things that Nixon did that were corrupt?
Wiretapping.
Yes. What else? Did he run up the debt to the extent that Obama has?
No.
So what was more dangerous for the survival of the Republic? Nixon's illegal wiretapping or Obama's printing of money and giving out hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars to cronies?
By far, it is Obama.
There's an article that just came out today that Biden's friend and supporter has been given a $20 million government loan to open up a car dealership. Not in Delaware, but in the Ukraine. You haven't any idea what I'm talking about. Most people don't understand what I mean by corruption. We've never seen anything like this. There's no oversight. There's no FBI oversight. There's no DHS oversight. There's no internal oversight. There's no oversight over this administration. None. It's a rogue administration. Biden gave $20 million to a donor to open a car dealership in the Ukraine. Can you believe this? Ross in New York, welcome to the Savage Nation. Ross in New York, welcome to the Savage Nation from WOR. Go ahead, please.
How you doing, Dr. Savage? It's a pleasure to speak with you. I actually have a friend whose father lives in Jersey, and he goes to Africa legally with a permit and goes elephant shooting. And it's disgusting, of course, but...
Your friend's father should be thrown in jail for 20 years for killing elephants.
I agree.
What man, what weakling man gets his rocks off going out and killing a beautiful, noble creature like that who is defenseless? Tell me what man gets his rocks off who's sane.
This guy, I don't know. He's from Japan. I don't know if he has his marbles upstairs, but...
Japan? It's just sort of a cultural thing, I guess, killing animals... Killing a noble animal like that makes him feel like a big man, I guess.
Well, yeah. He pays a pretty penny for it, too, $100,000 to go to Africa.
That's right. I wonder what he feels like after he floors the animal and the cubs are left without a mother. Does he feel like a big macho guy?
He does. He saves the actual animal tusks and the head. It's disgusting. I've been over his place and seen it.
Oh, he brings home the head and the tusks?
Yeah.
Yeah, his son ought to tell him that he's disavowing his father.
Yeah.
I mean, the age of big game hunting ended with Teddy Roosevelt, didn't it? Everybody knows that men who hunt big game like that are all inside, you know, made of butter. They're all cowards. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows that there's no sport in hunting big game in Africa. You've got the African guides, you've got the white guides who are taking it to the poor elephant and hunting it down till it's exhausted, and you're shooting it with a high-powered rifle from a long distance with a telescopic sight, which is probably loaded for you and held for you by a local African. That makes a man macho?
No.
If it was up to me, I would force the man to be released naked in the woods in the midst of a herd of elephants. I'd like to video him running as the elephants trample him to death.
I wish.
Yeah, it's very funny. It is, till you see the animal go down. No, I'm sorry. I'm very emotional about this. I really am. It's an amazing thing that we live in an age like this in 2012 and people are allowed to hunt big game. It's astounding to me. And the corruption, you know. What else do we have? Let's take a political call. Joe in New York is a cynic. We'll get to Joe, who says neither candidate will make a difference. It doesn't matter. I don't agree with that. I would say there are 6 degrees of separation between Romney and Obama. But those 6 degrees are the difference between survival and the demise of a free nation. I'll be right back.
Savage.
What do you think in the year 2012 that the head of a nation says that Jews will soon be destroyed, the tumor of Israel will soon be destroyed? Would you say he is the reincarnation of Hitler? Iranian Hitler Mahmoud Ahmadinejad told an annual anti-Israel protest in Tehran that the Jewish state was a cancerous tumor that will soon be excised, drawing Western rebukes. Washington said nothing. Washington muttered, oh, those are reprehensible statements. While the French anti-Semites said, oh, that's outrageous. Cancerous tumor about a nation of people, men, women, and children? This goes without a comment from the vermin in the United Nations? What is the United Nations for but to keep world peace? What good is a UN that says nothing when a Hitler like this arises on the world stage and makes such statements? What good is a United Nations? Why do we give 10 cents to those individuals in the UN? Why do we give them a dime, those useless diplomats? What are they here for? Why do we need them? I hope when Romney wins, he defunds the UN and throws them out of the country. Let them go to Paris. Let them go to Tehran, where they belong. What do we need the UN for? You know, all of these campaign slogans of the conservative movement against illegal immigrants, against the UN, I can name 10 of them. Do you know that not one of them is being stated by Romney Ryan? Not one of them? All we hear is jobs, 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 jobs. Jobs, 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 jobs. Me gonna give you jobs, 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 eat jobs, eb job, jobity job, 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 job. Romney Ryan, job, 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 job. Gonna give you some jobby jobs. Not one word about any of the issues other than this pap, this garbage, this saccharine dreck that no one believes a word of anyway. How can you get excited about a candidacy like this? Not standing up for any of the things that the entire conservative movement has lived and breathed and eaten and slept for the last 40 years. Not one word emanating from the Romney Ryan camp. They wouldn't let a raisin get into the Wonder Bread. They wouldn't put a nut into the Wonder Bread. They wouldn't put a seed into the Wonder Bread. They wouldn't put a shell into the Wonder Bread. They added more white flour to the white bread. That's the new Republican Party. 1-800-449-8255 is my phone number, my website, you know, michaelsavage.com. The great book is Trickle Down Tyranny, and it's a sickening day in the history of the world that a leader of a nation can say that we're going to wipe out a nation, it's a tumor, and not one word comes out of the mouths of the corrupt diplomats in the United Nations, the useless UN, and that a Saudi cleric could say Jews consume the blood of children, blood libel like this. And the king of Saudi Arabia is right now sitting next to the Hitler of our time, Ahmadinejad. And we have a president who kissed the ring of the king. And the Jewish community says nothing. Again, the Jewish community in America says nothing. Not one word uttered from the Jewish community, which is tied into the Democrat machine. Not one word. I don't understand how history could be repeating itself and how the Jewish community can be so blind to the threat to its existence when such horrible things are being said by leaders around the world, and the American Jewish community says nothing. But I'm not shocked. I'm not shocked because the very same professional Jewish leaders said nothing when Michael Savage was banned from entering England for daring to stand up for the very things that need to be stood up for. They did not come to my aid. They said not word. Not one. They are saying nothing about things like this. They didn't say one word on my behalf, and I begged them to. Abe Foxman of the ADL, a real soldier, a real warrior for the truth. Where is Abe Foxman when such things are being said. You know, this blood libel was the kind of thing that went on in the Middle Ages in the Christian world, that Jews consumed the blood of children and used the blood of children to make matzah. Saudi cleric questions Holocaust. A prominent Saudi Arabian religious cleric said that Jewish people consume the blood of children during an interview with an Arabic television station. The use of human blood in Jewish rituals, he said, is well known. He says, it is well known that the Jews celebrate several holidays, one of which is the Passover or the Matzos holiday. And then he said, it was for the blood of children. He said, Jewish people lure a child in order to sacrifice him in the religious rite that they perform during Passover. Now, a statement like this, coming from a Saudi cleric, should lead to serious sanctions against Saudi Arabia. Yet the Obama administration has gone out of its way to maintain relations with the Saudi government, which is known to oppress its people. We know that the President Obama bowed to Saudi King Abdullah, and here we see this coming out of Abdullah's kingdom. Not one word from Obama. I mean, if we had a leader of a nation, a free country, he would get up now and say, you know, I have to pause in the middle of this campaign to say to Ahmadinejad and have to say this to the Saudi people, this is a lie, you can't do this again, we know what the Holocaust, what this led to. Not one word from Obama. The only one who might say something would be Romney, but I don't think he would dare. Romney's talking only about jobs, 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 jobs. Ryan, jobs, jobs, Medicare, Social Security, jobs, 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 jobs.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Nation, is a time for everything. Everything's about timing. And here we are. We're talking about the world. We're talking about elephants and donkeys. And it's interesting, not only symbolically in terms of the Republicans and the Democrats, but actual elephants and actual donkeys. Lorenzo's donkey, Jake, dying at age 32, and how it affects people who love animals, and how some human beings think that hunting elephants is still a sport. And how others, like myself, are funding anti-poaching teams to go out and kill poachers, shoot them dead. I wish they would shoot the hunters. But that may be illegal to kill hunters, but I wish that there'd be some way to stop the hunters who think it's sport to kill elephants. I do. I really do. So you'll hear more about elephants as time goes on, because I'm a defender of the poor elephants and the mountain gorillas being hunted to extinction in Africa for their meat. Chopping the hands off these beautiful big creatures, leaving the babies alone in the forests. What kind of humans do we have? Ahmadinejad saying that Israel's a cancer on the world. A Saudi cleric with his little refined polished beard saying that Jews take the blood of children and put it into their matzahs, and not one word from the degenerates at the United Nations, the useless UN. Yeah, post a complaint with the UN, Bloomberg. Why don't you show that you're made of something instead of attacking mother's milk and sodas and attacking us who want the laws of the land upheld and the deluge of illegal aliens who are swarming across the country, poisoning and destroying this country, destroying and decimating the hospitals and the schools. Why don't you stand up for something, Bloomberg, instead of attacking us as nativists? Why don't you support us, Bloomberg? Disgrace, wherever you turn, there's nobody representing the Americans who believe in this country's laws. Nobody. You've got billionaire elitists like Murdoch and Bloomberg laughing at you, calling you nativist. Did you hear what Moloch, who is O'Reilly and Hannity's boss, did you hear what Moloch said about it? He said, ignore you. Listen to clip 7. Listen to Moloch.
I mean, that is true. Where there's been a flood of illegal immigrants in Southern California or in some of the southern states, there is a sort of a nativist group who doesn't want any more or want to send them all back. But really, it would not take much courage for the Republican candidate or his deputy to ignore them and ride right over them. Because they're not
run right over them. Right over them. The way you ride right over everyone in England with your illegal wiretapping. Run right over the law, Moloch. Run right over the law. The few little nativists. The few nativists. How many do you think there are, Moloch? Certainly not O'Reilly isn't a nativist. Hannity isn't a nativist. Your other puppets aren't nativists on Fox News, Moloch. But there probably are 50 million such nativists in this country, Moloch, and there are more of us than there are the illegal aliens who are decimating our schools and our hospitals, Moloch. And then you have Bloomberg. Listen to Bloomberg flaunting the law, a man who wants to ban soda and milk in a can for mothers who can't nurse. Listen to what Bloomberg has the nerve to say. Advising people how to come into this country illegally. Listen to clip 9.
Nobody's come across the border in a long time. I mean, we spent a fortune on technology. And if you want to come to America illegally, don't waste your time going across the border and through the desert. It's dangerous. Just get in an airplane, fly here, and overstay your visa. We have absolutely no ability to check who you are and get you back. So, and the total number of undocumented in this country has been going down for a long time.
One lie on top of the other. One lie built upon the other. Nobody has come across the border in a long time, lie one. Total number of undocumented aliens has been going down for a long time, lie number two. It seems every time this man opens his mouth, he commits another lie. It's unbelievable to me. So who represents those of us? And by the way, in California, it's an interesting phenomenon. Even Democrats are opposed to the flood of illegal aliens who have swarmed across the state, decimated social services, decimated hospitals, decimated the schools, taking us from the first in the nation to almost the last in the world. That's right. California once had the finest universities in the country, now are amongst the worst in the country and amongst the worst in the Western world. How did that happen? It didn't happen because the children are any stupider. It happened because elitists like Moloch, like Jerry Brown, like Bloomberg, have catered to the illegal alien to the extent that they have collapsed the entire educational infrastructure. They've destroyed it. English as a second language? I'm the son of an immigrant. Nobody taught my father Russian and catered to him. Oh, how do you feel today? Can we get you another tutor? Oh, you're having trouble with English? No, they didn't do that. You learned English and you kept up and you became an American. Why are you catering to people who don't speak the language? Why do you allow them to bring foreign flags to sporting events? Why are they allowed to wave Mexican flags at a sporting event? I'm appalled by it. Have you seen American flags being waved at Mexican sporting events? They'd be killed. They'd have their heads broken open. But we apparently stand for nothing because the elitists have destroyed the males in this country. They've put you into a hostage situation. DHS was created, as far as I can tell, to imprison and to terrify the nativist population. As far as I can tell, the entire purpose of the sorority house called the Department of Homeland Security is not to deport illegal aliens, but to intimidate those of us who are nativists. Those of us, in other words, who believe that we're a nation of laws and that we should have borders that are respected. The DHS exists strictly to intimidate you and possibly to deport you, the American citizen. That's what the world is. It's Alice in Wonderland under Barack Obama, but it didn't start with him. It started with Clinton. Clinton started it. Bush continued it. And now Obama has almost finished it, destroying our borders completely. And where does Romney stand on borders? Has he said one word about what he would do to stop the assault upon this nation by the millions of illegal aliens who have decimated our hospitals and schools? Has Romney Ryan said one word about it? Where does Ryan stand on it? Huh? The Wonder Bread that was baked by the Republican Party in the form of Mitt Romney, they would not even put a raisin in it. They wouldn't put a fragment of whole wheat in it. They wouldn't put a nut in it. They gave us more white flour that stands for very, very little so far as I can tell. Yes, Ryan's a fiscal conservative, whatever that means. Tell me what that means. Tell me what that really means. Yes, I'm going to vote for Romney Ryan because at least I know where they were born, and I'm pretty sure that they're loyal to the United States of America, which is more than I can say for the existent cabal that runs this country. Okay? Now let's go to the callers, now that we've covered it. Have you ever seen corruption as bad as this under Obama, ever, in American history, in modern American history? Tell me which administration was more corrupt than this one. I challenge anyone to prove that there has been a more corrupt administration in the last 50 years, because I don't know of it. If I did, I wouldn't put out such a challenge. There's never been such a corrupt administration as now. No-bid contracts, false-bid contracts, outright grants, $800 million to this one's brother-in-law, $20 million to that one's brother-in-law, $1 billion solar contract for a company that doesn't exist, one after the other. It's sickening, and we have no oversight. Where's the oversight? You know there'd be oversight if it was a Republican administration. Where's the oversight? The press doesn't exist. Non-existent. They may as well be department store dummies with computers. The so-called reporters for ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News may as well be department store dummies with iPhones, because they're not doing any investigative reporting, are they? Who is covering the corruption? Where are we supposed to keep this government in check if there's no longer any reportage? The Pulitzer Prize has no meaning. Maybe if you had a daring investigative reporter left in the country, and there may be one here or there, they should be given so-called Pulitzer Prize. But who? Where are these men and women who were once these gung-ho journalists? Where do they go? Well, they don't exist. Maybe they exist for a website here and there. They certainly are not allowed into the journalism schools, because those schools are controlled by fabulously, fabulously corrupt left-wing fanatics. And if you show any scintilla of independence, if you show a scintilla of interest in true investigative reporting that is non-biased, you are not admitted to the so-called J schools. They exist for one reason only. They're an arm of the Democrat Party. That's the only reason the journalism schools exist today, as an arm of the Democrat lie. They've conducted a complete and total destruction of independent journalism in this country. I don't know if you're interested in any of this. I really don't. So let's read you some of the headlines. Biden's good friend and donor receives a $20 million federal loan to open a foreign luxury car dealership in the Ukraine. John Hinansky, a longtime friend of VP Joe Biden and a major donor to Biden's campaigns as well as President Obama's, was awarded a $20 million taxpayer loan to build a foreign car dealership in Ukraine. According to a public summary document, the loan from the federal government's Overseas Private Investment Corporation, OPIC, is for up to $20 million and is designed to expand his Ukraine automobile business and construct and operate Winner Autocity, which will have two new state-of-the-art dealership facilities for Porsche and Land Rover Jaguar automobiles in Ukraine. During Obama's 08 run for president, John Hinansky gave, well, to Obama, and they gave, the wife gave, and the children gave to Obama and Biden. Talk about corruption. Ex-Border Patrol union leader indicted for spending union funds on mistress. So far, more than 130 Border Patrol and Customs agents have been arrested or indicted on corruption charges in the past 8 years. Former head of the National Border Patrol Union was indicted in federal court Thursday on charges of using hundreds of thousands of dollars in union funds for personal use for more than 20 years. Terrence T.J. Bonner, or is it Boner? Terrence T.J. Boner, was accused of using union money during his tenure from 78 to 2010 to travel to sporting events and visit a mistress in Chicago while claiming to be doing union-related work while submitting false travel reimbursement claims. Mr. Boner is also accused of being falsely reimbursed for lost pay when he was actually downloading and watching pornography on computers bought with union money. On that account, he's equal to the DHS personnel. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is the one and only Savage Nation. So where do we go in America if we have lost our free press and we have no oversight inside the government over the machinations, the corruption, the outright thievery, the outright robbery, the outright bid rigging? Where do we go as a nation? Who's going to do this work if we don't have a free press? We have no free press. We have no oversight committees inside the government that seem to be operating right now. They seem to have been nullified by Obama, probably because they were all bought out one way or the other, meaning their nests were feathered by the corrupt. You see, corruption, there's a statement that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. I would change that to corruption corrupts and absolute corruption corrupts absolutely. How's that? Is that an original? I believe that there's a climate of corruption coming out of this Chicago machine that has penetrated virtually every politician in this country from the top to the bottom. The corruption has become endemic because it's become a way of life. And how the country ever climbs back out of this cesspool is anyone's guess. I don't know if it can. Can a country ever climb out of such a corrupt mess? I don't know. You think if Romney Ryan win, they're going to be able to turn this around overnight if they even wanted to? I doubt it. Let's go to the callers. Frank in New York on line one. Go ahead, please. From WOR, you're on the air.
Mike, the worst corruption is 1992 and 2012. Slick Willie Clinton and Obama Soprano. Both of these are the most disgusting, vile presidents we ever had. Bribery with Mr. Soprano there, Obama, he jammed trillions of dollars and the governors of the states that... Right,
so would you agree with me that Obama is the most corrupt president in history?
Him and Slick Willie Clinton.
Well, that can't be true about Clinton because according to the Vogue magazine and CNN, the Clintons are the world's greatest parents. According to Vogue magazine's contributing editor to Jonathan Van Meter, Bill, along with wife Hillary, might be the world's greatest parents because of how they raised their sterling daughter, Chelsea. That's right. This is unbelievable to me. The world's greatest parents? They praised Chelsea Clinton as remarkably articulate, poised, successful. Now, you may remember Chelsea lasted 10 minutes on NBC as a correspondent, and it failed. Yet, Van Meter and Banfield went all out to hand Chelsea the Smartest Girl in the World award. They say she's the smartest person in the world. Now, coming from Ashley Banfield, I can understand it because Ashley Banfield should have been banned from the minefield of television after she supported the Hamas Jew killing squad that I pointed out many, many years ago. Remember Ashley Banfield, that dingbat with large glasses, who was caught going out with the PLO, rather, on a night mission to kill Jews with her camera on? And I was the only one who pointed it out. She was fired shortly thereafter. But for her good work on behalf of the PLO, she's been recently, resuscitated and given a new job again in some leftist outlet. I don't know where she's working now. Here is a woman who should have gone to work for Iran's Ahmadinejad. She'd be very, very comfortable if she could learn Farsi. I would suggest that Ashley Banfield go to a language school and learn Farsi and go to work for Ahmadinejad in Iran, which is where she belongs. This is the Savage Nation. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. I'll be back with more sterling commentary.
Savage.
The Statue of Liberty is weeping under Obama. She has been defiled. She has been insulted. She has been embarrassed. If the Statue of Liberty were alive, she'd be crying from what has been done to her under this regime. And the only question is if Romney Ryan, if they win, will do anything to clean up the bronze. I don't know. So let's move on to something. Is there anything positive we could talk about? Who was the most corrupt president in American history? Montana Dan, you say it was Nixon? Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Michael. Love your rage, brother, and God bless you. I love your passion. I'd like you to ask me anything about God. I can articulate it very well.
No, but wait. Let's not do God talk. Let's do corrupt talk. Who is the most corrupt? Which was the most corrupt administration in history?
Well, Obama.
Okay. But, I thought you were going to say Nixon was.
No. Nixon was my first political memory in recollection. I'm 51 years old, Michael.
Yeah, Nixon sold us out to China with Henry Kissinger, the Quisling. And Kissinger has been making a fortune lobbying for Chinese firms, as you well know, along with Madeleine Halfbright and along with Bob Dole, which is, by the way, across the board. Both parties have sold us down the river, and I mean the Yangtze River. Thanks for the call. That's right. It's still a corrupt dictatorship. China is a corrupt dictatorship. Ask Chinese Americans if they want to move back to China. Ask any of them if they would live there. None of them would. It's a police state. But you as an American wouldn't know that reading the New York Times. I have a little side note for you. It's a little story. Let's take a deep breath. There's a little side note. It's a little story. I'll tell it again on Monday. As you know, I'm a boater, right? B-O-A-T-E-R, boater. 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 I don't speak English very well. Boater. And I've just listed my 21-foot Ranger tug for sale. I know it's sad. I had to get rid of something. And it's you're not going to meet me because I'm not selling it, but a broker's selling it. It's going to be up on my website. If somebody wants to own a piece of history, it's going to be over in Alameda, California, my 21-foot Ranger tug, 21-foot. It's a great little boat. I've loved it. Many an afternoon after a show, I've tugged out with Teddy on it. I'm almost sad seeing it, you know, up on the website. It's going to be up on the site soon with all the pictures. You'll see where I sat. He held that wheel. He sat there. He pushed that key. No, really. It's sad looking at the thing. Like when you sell something that you've enjoyed so much, new bottom paint, new batteries, new bilge pump, upgraded bronze sea strainer. Whether you're looking to follow America's Cup racing up close and personal on the bay or want to explore lakes, estuaries, the Delta, and beyond, Sea Tender is the perfect vessel to enjoy your time on the water. A great boat. Has a Yanmar diesel in it, which, by the way, they're like bulletproof, I must tell you. These three-cylinder Japanese engines are amazing. Anyway, it's up for sale out at a brokerage in Alameda near Jack Lennon Square, 21-foot Ranger tug. It'll be up on my website very soon. Or you can go to Yacht World, I guess, and look it up. Sad to see it go. You know, it's funny when you sell something. It's like when you sell a car that's been part of you. It's like a dog that you're giving. You know, like sending a dog to the pound. Soon I'm going to have to sell Wilhelm, the Mercedes, because she's got 18,000 miles on her. It's time to sell Wilhelm. I name my cars, by the way, and my boats. This one is called Sea Tender. Sad, all the time I spent. What year is it? 2009 already? 3 years I've had this thing. I just couldn't take care of these boats anymore. I can't do it. There's too many things in my life. So if you'd like to see the inside of it, lovely Hero Red Ranger 21 tug inspired by traditional trawler. Easily trailerable. She's also a comfortable little gem to keep dockside for entertaining or simply relaxing on the hook. Anyway, there it is. If you want to take a look at a boat I've owned, it's going to be up there. And you can peruse the pictures of the boat. Because it's probably going to sell right away. It's perfect. Better than new, actually. All right, let's move on. I'm not selling my dog. Not for sale. Teddy is not for sale. I will not sell Teddy, no matter what you offer me. I was watching the Mecum auctions last night. You know, the car auctions, by the way. What? They can't give away old Bentleys. Did you see the prices they're going for? Like a Bentley, they're selling for like $32,000. Nobody wants them. It's like an elephant. Nobody wants those cars. Other cars, I don't understand why people pay so much money. I saw a 53 Cadillac convertible that went for $132,000. They're beautiful cars, but, I mean, you really want a car like that? I think next, by the way, after this, I'm going to sell my 65 Caddy convertible. I'm going to put the money into the Savage Legal Fund. I've got to replenish it. So when you see that up, you want to grab a piece, a real piece of history, it's going to be this, the Cadillac, the red Caddy. I have to get rid of it. I don't have garage space for it. It's perfect. And new battery, but yeah, I'm a boater, cars, this and that, American. I love me boats and I love me cars. I love me TV and I love me beer. I love my beer. It's Friday. It's a nice night we're going to have tonight. Tonight, where am I going to go tonight after the show? Let me think. You know where I'm going to be. You know where I wind up. I'm probably either going to go to the place at the foot of Broadway in San Francisco and have a vodka and grapefruit. I haven't had a drink all week. I've been like replenishing my spiritual side. Now it's time to feed the devil. All week I've been a good boy. I've been replenishing my spirit. I'm more tired than ever. The more I try to be good, the worse I feel. No, it's true. It's a phenomenon. The healthier I try to live, almost the worse I feel. I need a couple of drinks to let go tonight, I think. So I'll start down there. Then I will meander up to the North Beach restaurant. Well, he won't be in there till 6:37, I guess, but I'll probably go up there. Or I'll go across the street for the Codfish on Columbus, which is now ruined from the wonderful Democrat politicians who are building a subway to nowhere. It's like the Boston Dig, the Big Dig. Nothing compared to this. You never saw anything like it. A subway tunnel to nowhere. The insiders tell me if the Republicans win, no funding for this boondoggle. If the Democrats win, the boondoggle will go on. Oh, yeah, the very same people. The very same people who claim to love the Italian neighborhood and love the Italian people and the Italian district are destroying the Italian people, the Italian district, and the Italian neighborhood and the Italian food. 20 years from now, it'll be nothing but high-rise. It'll look like downtown, like Rincon Center, if you let these people get away with this. It's unbelievable. They can't do anything. They're powerless. So I'm enjoying it. It's like the twilight of San Francisco right now. What's being done to North Beach right now is what's being done to the elephants. They're killing it. It's like the twilight of North Beach is what you can do. That's the Italian district. A lot of people come to town. They go to the restaurant. They look. They know, does Mike eat here, this and that? I'm never there when they come in. And I'm usually in mufti anyway. I look like an Iranian diplomat. If you were to look for me, you would never recognize. I wear camouflage. It's a nice weekend in the middle of August. You know what I'm saying? Relax. As Aristotle Onassis said, if you're going to be raped, you may as well enjoy it. You know where that statement came from? You remember the great shipping magnate who married Jackie Kennedy? Remember that horrible shock to the world? She was. Remember that? Jackie Kennedy. She's married to JFK, remember? Then he was knocked off, assassinated. It was a terrible day in American history. I remember I was teaching at the time. I was a young teacher. And I was rather naive, and I went into the teacher's lunchroom. They had a restroom. And I was shocked. I was heartbroken when JFK was shot. I remember it to this day. I was just out of college. It was a year after I was a social worker. And all the teachers who I thought were idealists were talking about what it did to the stock market. That was one of the days I awakened to the realities of the world. All they talked about was how it affected their investments. I couldn't believe it. I was a kid with nothing. I didn't have a dime to my name. You know what I'm saying? So then he gets killed, and the next thing we know, she marries this beast from Greece. I remember the shock as I looked in the New York newspapers. I see this elegant, beautiful lady with like some bestial throwback from Greece. Well, that's how he looked to me at the time. He was an older man. You know, men put on weight. Hair grows out of their nose and their ears as you get older. Look, it happens to everybody. When he was a young man, he was quite dashing, Aristotle Onassis. And he had a lot of money. She was into money, you know. She was like all women of that time. Not today anymore. No, there are no women who are gold diggers. She was a gold digger, so she married him. And what the prenup said is he could touch her once a month or so. Who knows what the prenup said. But... So Onassis, I'm getting to a point. Aristotle Onassis was Greek, right? Made his fortune in the shipping business. He apparently lived through the rape of Greece by the Muslim Turks, the Ottoman Turks, when they raged through Greece. They pillaged the country. They burnt Christians to the ground in churches in Greece. A lot of them raped the young men. Oh, yeah, you don't want to know about that part of the history of the Ottoman Turks. A very noble part of your human history. So if you see the movie, this is an interesting side note. Only I can put the pieces together because I've been around too long in some regard. There was a movie called America, America by another great Greek American called Ilya Kazan. One of my, the greatest filmmakers of our time was Ilya Kazan. So he was unliked by the liberal scum in the media. Even though he was one of the greatest filmmakers of all time, the liberal scum in Hollywood blacklisted him because he was too patriotic and loved the country too much. Katzenberg, Matzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Spielberg hated Ilya Kazan because apparently he had a lust for this country. So Ilya Kazan did a great movie, which I recommend for you and your children, called America, America. And it's about a young man in Greece whose their family saves the money after the Turks ravage the community and destroy Greece, and they save up all their money to send them to America. And it's about his trials and tribulations on his path to America. He gets robbed. He gets beaten. He gets deceived till he finally arrives. And the last scene ends with the protagonist arriving in New York, as so many of the listeners' grandparents or great-grandparents did. He got here. He looked at the skyscrapers of New York, and he got down, and he cried, and he kissed the ground. Kissed the ground of America. Could you imagine what Bloomberg would say about this nativist today for daring to kiss the ground that came here illegally? Can you imagine what Bloomberg would say? Ah, spit on those nativists. Go, come over on a plane and overstay your visa. Go ahead. That's what he would say. So to get back to Aristotle Onassis, there's a scene in the movie America, America, where a young Greek guy becomes an attaché or an assistant to one of the invaders, the Ottoman Turks, who has a taste for young boys. And apparently, in order to keep his job and feed his family, he has to submit to this horrible monster in order to survive. You talk about a Hobson's choice. Now, I don't know whether that applied to Aristotle Onassis, but I'm getting the feeling the more I look back upon his statement, Onassis, that is, when he said, if you're going to be raped, you may as well enjoy it, whether or not that applied to him. But I can probably surmise that that's what he was referring to. So if you think you've got it bad now, you ain't seen nothing yet. Not with this regime, if it should win again. Hey, this is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Oh, I've been goofing around during the breaks. I don't know. I feel good this day. I survived another week. Can you imagine it's Friday? I love Fridays. I don't know about you. I still am like a kid. It's like school is out. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, you got the long, wonderful weekend to do nothing with and wonder why life passed you by. You see all of those wonderful, superb individuals from Hollywood having such a good time that they've got to tell you about it every 3 seconds. They've got to exhibit themselves. They're having such a wonderful time, and you're not, that every other week they're in rehab. That's the good time they're having. Every other day they're falling down in a gutter and going into rehab. That's the good time they're having. Waving from a yacht in Monaco. They're having such a great time. One low life after another is waving about, showing you how you have nothing and they have everything. Unbelievable. The upside down war. Death to Israel, death to U.S. Awful. Just awful. What else is in the news? You hear all the news is so bad. Northeast, west, and south. It's a bad business I'm in. You know, it's one thing to look at a tumor if you're an oncologist, but you can't look at a tumor 24 hours a day. You go crazy. You start to think the whole world is a tumor. Saudi Arabia King Abdullah shakes hands with the Jew hater, the Ahmadinejad, the Hitler of our time. So what is that all about? The Iranians are Shia, aren't they? Yes. And the Saudis are Sunni. Is that correct or incorrect? So why are they shaking hands? What is this about? The only thing I could think about is that's like the Godfather. It's like the Mafia. The reason the king is shaking hands with Ahmadinejad is because he's going to lead him to his... You know what I'm saying? It's like the guy who smiles and brings you into the clubhouse. Yeah, we're having a little meeting. Come on in. The guys are waiting for you. Boom. So the Saudi king is shaking hands with his arch enemy Ahmadinejad. What, they're going to gang up against Israel? I don't believe that. Gallup says Romney 47, Obama 45. who knows? It's too close to call. Who knows? Who knows? If they put a little, if they had only put a raisin in the white bread, if they had only put a little bit of whole grain in the white bread, but no, that add more white flour to the Wonder Bread. Romney Ryan, Ryan Romney, Romney Ryan, Ryan Romney, Romney Ryan, Ryan. No diversity in the ticket. And again, don't get me wrong. Ryan's a, you know, nice guy, good guy, honest as the day is long, not corrupt. But do you think he's going to appeal? Do you think Ryan is going to appeal to the vast independent voter? I don't know. He won't not appeal. Well, who could he have picked? Let's think about that for one second. Let's indulge ourselves. It's over. It's finished. It's gone. He could have picked Rice, and that would have been a bad choice because she stood for nothing. Remember, they ran her up the flagpole and no one saluted, right? That old game. Condoleezza Rice. No one cared. She has no political currency whatsoever. She's just too bland. So who could he have picked? Well, let's start with some of the candidates who he ran against, who had a huge following, like Ron Paul. I mean, that might have excited the base. I mean, that might have added a little whole grain to the ticket. By cracky? No, I'm serious about that. By cracky, that Ron Paul sure had some guts and gumption. No, I'm serious about it. I didn't particularly like some of his positions, but the guy stood for something. So he could have picked Ron Paul. No, nothing. I would say he could have picked Newt Gingrich, but he ran such a negative, vicious campaign that he nullified his own potential as a vice presidential candidate. I couldn't stand him by the end of it. Newt Gingrich should move to Iran and run a think tank for Ahmadinejad. That's how bad he sullied his name. So who else was on the platform? Forget about the guy with the sweater. No one even knows his name. That genius. What was his name? I don't even remember him anymore. Mr. Sweater from Pennsylvania? Sanctimorium, Sanctorum, Sanctorium. No, couldn't have picked him. He could have picked Ron Paul. I'm picking someone that was viable, right? A pizza delivery man would have been a better choice than Ryan. A pizza delivery man who stood up to Obama would have been a better tag team. I'll vote for them. I'm voting for the I'm voting for the Wonder Bread. Believe me. Wonder Bread is better than ersatz bread made out of, sawdust. In other words, if I have to eat white bread, I'll eat white bread as opposed to sawdust bread, which is what we have now with Obama. It's bread made out of sawdust. That's not a bad line. There was a time that people ate sawdust when they were starving. What else is in the news? Pizzeria to no longer deliver in Detroit. Oh, guys, that's where the pizza thing coming. Russian punk rockers found guilty of hooliganism. Good, good, good. Give them more than 2 years in jail. You know, either you live in a nation that respects the church or you don't. Who do you respect more, punk rockers or the church? Tell me, what's better for the survival of a nation, a church or degenerate, drug-taking, sexual degenerate punk rockers? Tell me, who's better for the survival of a nation? Putin's 100% right. Tell me what's more stabilizing in a society, the church or degenerate sex addicts and drug addicts who spit on the church? I mean, put your head in gear, for God's sakes, and stop taking the side of these three degenerates. Throw them away and get rid of the key. What am I getting so excited about? I could care less one way or the other at the end of it. I mean, not that I can care less in that regard. He did the right thing, that's all. I'm on record. He did the right thing. They had no right jumping up onto the main platform of the most sacred church in Moscow and performing an obscene gesture with a crucifix. And as the leader of a country, I respect him for this. At least he stands for something. Unlike our nation, where apparently the political class stands for nothing but feathering the nests of themselves and their cronies. That's real hooliganism. Well, that's it for now on The Savage Nation. The website is michaelsavage.com. There's another big hour across America right on your local station. And with God's will and your listenership, I shall return.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. We'll be right back.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Let's listen to some of the great sound bites we've collected for you today on The Savage Nation. Here is Rupert Murdoch saying he's in favor of illegal immigration.
One can argue very, very strongly that most immigrants add tremendously to the economy. An immigrant is more likely to start a small business than a non-immigrant.
Well, why is that?
Well, they're more ambitious. They've come here. They've left behind, they've probably come from pretty desperate circumstances. They want to dream the American dream. I think there's a lot more to this than economics. I think it's the nature of the country, the culture, the history, which has always been to be an open country, to welcome the oppressed. I mean, it's true where there's been a flood of illegal immigrants in Southern California or in some of the southern states. There is a sort of a nativist group. Doesn't want any more, or wants to send them all back. But really, it would not take much courage for the Republican candidate or his deputy to ignore them and ride right over them, because they're not going to vote for Obama. So what the hell, you know? Do it.
And here's Mayor Bloomberg in favor of illegal immigration.
Businesses just cannot find qualified people to work, and it's not incidentally just educated. The in Alabama and places like that, a lot of the crops this year just rotted in the fields. They could not get people to pick the crop. Nobody's come across the border in a long time. I mean, we spent a fortune on technology, and if you want to come to America illegally, don't waste your time going across the border and through the desert. It's dangerous. Just get in an airplane, fly here, and overstay your visa. We have absolutely no ability to check who you are and get you back. So, and the total number of undocumented in this country has been going down for a long time.
Not everybody's upset with old Biden for his comment about keeping people in chains. Here is Congressman Emanuel Cleaver, the chairman of the so-called Congressional Black Caucus.
Okay, first of all, I've been black all my life, so that comment, I can tell you, would have no impact on me. I would never have even paid much attention to it, but for the fact that campaigns nowadays are waiting for any kind of little nugget to try to create an atmosphere of more and more discord. And so it makes absolutely no sense that some kind of a little throwaway line is now being used to make Vice President Biden appear to have been throwing out these words in order to somehow attract dumb African Americans who, if they hear the words chains, are going to automatically vote for him and President Obama. I know Vice President Biden, and when you look at the video, there's only a sprinkling of African Americans. They are clearly in the minority in that crowd.
Well, not everyone is happy with Vice President Biden's chains comment. For example, here is former Virginia Governor Douglas Wilder.
Not shocked me. I shouldn't have been shocked. Biden said this in 2010. It was in a Washington Post piece, and they were saying how he is getting ready to deal with Paul Ryan. And he said, in 2010, this is what Biden said about Obama. You know, he's smarter than I thought he was. What does that mean? If he's smarter than you thought he was, did you think he was just ordinary? Did you think he was below par? If he's smarter than what you thought he was, what does that mean? Why would you say that 2 years after the election and the guy that brought you along to a position that you never would have occupied but for his being there? Did Joe Biden get him elected in 08? He may have helped, but will he help him this time is the real question.
Finally, we have Mitt Romney, the only hope we have, talking about the fake accusations against him by the Obama machine.
Given the challenges that America faces, 23 million people out of work, Iran about to become nuclear, one out of six Americans in poverty, the fascination with taxes I paid, I find to be very small-minded compared to the broad issues that we face. I did go back and look at my taxes, and over the past 10 years, I never paid less than 13%. I think the most recent year is 13.6 or something like that. So I've paid taxes every single year. Harry Reid's charge is totally false. I'm sure waiting for Harry to put up who it was that told him what he says they told him. I don't believe it for a minute, by the way. But every year I've paid at least 13%. And if you add in addition the amount that goes to charity, well, the number gets well above 20%. Actually, Paul Ryan and my plan for Medicare, I think, is the same. If not identical, it's probably close to identical. Our plan is very simple, which is that for people 55 years of age and older, there's no change. We'd restore the $817 billion President Obama took out of the Medicare trust fund. We'd restore it to Medicare. I think the president's decision to take $817 billion out of Medicare to pay for Obamacare is an outrage that seniors are going to find unacceptable. Paul Ryan is on my ticket, and we have the same plan together. The real difference between folks is between Paul Ryan and my plan and that of the president.
Here's what's on MichaelSavage.com. Biden's good friend and donor receives a $20 million federal loan to open a foreign luxury car dealership in, not Maryland, in the Ukraine. That's right. A longtime friend of VP Joe Biden and a major donor to Biden's campaign as well as President Barack Obama's was given a $20 million taxpayer loan, you hear this, to build a foreign car dealership in the Ukraine. No corruption under Obama. No see, no tell. Ahmadinejad, the Hitler of our time, says Israel will soon be destroyed. Out of Saudi Arabia, a cleric says Jews consume the blood of children. I'm telling you, Hitler is back. How American Jews don't see this is beyond me. Iran says Israel's existence is an insult to all humanity. How the Jews of America don't see what's coming is amazing to me. What else is in the news? Well, let's go to the rest of the website, MichaelSavage.com. All the news, views, and reviews that you can possibly want. Borders, language, culture, top right. Bailed out General Motors, headed for bankruptcy again. Thank you, Barack Obama. Barack Motors. In Afghanistan, sad news. Another Afghan police attack kills two more U.S. service members. Minutes after they handed him his official weapon in a ceremony, they were shot in the back. War of words over Family Research Council shooting. The Southern Poverty Law Center gave a license to kill, said the head of the FRC. I agree with them 100%. Illegals declare themselves proudly, no papers, no fear. They say I'm undocumented in public gatherings. They're so brazen they feel I have more rights than citizens do. CNN reinstated the fanatic leftist and cheater. All is forgiven for Fareed Zakariyah, the leftist cheater on CNN. More of the same. Saudi racist cleric says Jews drink children's blood. He says the Holocaust is a myth. In South Africa, the police killed 34 striking minors. Police shot 34 striking minors to death. This is post-apartheid. This is not 1955. This is 2012. White Chicago cops sue over demotion from Emmanuel Detail. They claim it's because of skin color. The whites were fired. Thank you, Rahm. You're a wonderful prize of humanity. Establishment media blows off the Family Research Council shooting. No one will be charged in the loss of $1 billion under John Corzine, big Democrat. Coach says Pelosi's are in breach of contract. Read that one. Read that one. What else is on MichaelSavage.com? Israel is not bluffing. Yeah, well, we'll soon find out who's bluffing. Police captain sues a department over mosque assignment. He was punished for refusing to go to a proselytizing event where he was told about the wonders of Islam. Good for him. I know where he's coming from. I'm banned in Britain. Democrat won't be charged for sex with 17-year-old boy. Wonder why not. Georgia woman who rescued animals killed in a dog attack. She had five dogs living with her at the time of her death. They ripped her apart. Oh, God. There's a picture of Michael Savage and his high school rifle team from his forthcoming book, Train Tracks, due out in October. I strongly recommend that you order your advance copy now from Amazon. train tracks, Michael and his high school rifle team. Does anyone else in talk radio have a picture that they can publish which proves they were on their high school rifle team? Let's see. Rush, well, maybe he was on his high school golf team. Hannity was probably on his high school nail gun team. Glenn Beck was probably on his high school, I don't know, bottle rock team. Imus was on his high school railroad team. No one was on their high school rifle team. All this and more right here on the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255. I'll be right back.
Wait, hang on before I go. You know, I hate seeing my electric meter spinning around like some crazed hamster wheel. Running the AC is like watching dollar bills fly out of poorly insulated windows. It costs thousands to replace windows, but for a fraction of the cost, you can put gorgeous energy-saving solar shades over your windows from Blinds.com. Blinds.com saves my listeners and me in so many ways. They offer a huge selection of designer blinds, shades, shutters, and drapes at prices lower than Lowe's and Home Depot. By posting free online how-to videos that make transforming any room in about 20 minutes very easy and by yourself. Listen, by making measuring so utterly goof-proof that even if you mismeasure, which is next to impossible, they'll remake it for free. Get free color samples, free shipping, no sales tax in most states, plus expert installers if you need one. Save an extra 20% on top brands through July 31st at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, where prices absolutely crush home improvement stores. Don't be blind. Go to Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Did you get it? Blinds.com. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Here's the headline in a local communist San Francisco newspaper. Killer was a neo-Nazi metalhead. And they go on and throw another bomb at the military. Man who fatally shot six people at a Sikh temple was white supremacist and an army veteran. Of course, he was thrown out of the army 14 years ago. But look, if you can smear the entire military and you're a deviant psychotic who hates America who works for the San Francisco Chronicle, why not? You know, see if you can get a threefer out of it. We had a landing on Mars after a harrowing descent. The geniuses in the rocket business, called rocket scientists, not to be confused with, not to be confused with a lot of people. Unbelievable. Obama, of course, has a war on NASA, a war against NASA, destroyed the space shuttle. And yet, despite Obama's hatred for the geniuses in NASA, the NASA Jet Propulsion Laboratory cheered after the most high-tech interplanetary rover ever built survived the harrowing plunge through the thin Mars atmosphere and touched down on Mars. You heard nothing about that. Why? Because it would give America a moment of pride. Because it would make America cheer. Because it would make us feel good about ourselves again instead of feeling down about America. You heard nothing about it. Instead, the media is going on and on and on about this tragedy in Wisconsin, which, by the way, is a tragedy and should be talked about. And the Sikhs and Jews and Hindus and Muslims should have their temples armed, both inside and outside, by private armed security guards. Yes. But we're on Mars again. It's unbelievably beautiful to see a thing like this. It's incredible. It's rocket science. And, of course, Obama is not too happy. Because if it was up to Obama, there'd be no NASA, there'd be no space exploration, there'd be no military at all. There would just be Obama and highways to nowhere, solar plants that do nothing. Wisconsin, Joel, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Dr. Savage, thanks for taking my call. And you know, I wanna thank you for actually bringing up this conversation about this police officer that was shot that no one else has the guts to talk about. And want to take the
he time took
off.
Nine. See, here's the thing. It was a white man who conducted this massacre, terrible thing. And it was a white man who prevented a bigger massacre, the policeman who took nine bullets in a shootout with him. And he has a name, and he hails from Brooklyn, New York, and he's a former Marine, and he's a great American hero. And the White House should have congratulated him.
And you don't hear nothing about it. The mainstream media.
I had to search for the man's name. He has a name.
He has an actual name. The Brooklyn cop who was living in Wisconsin, who was in the police department, has an actual name. His name is Brian Murphy. He served in the Marines. He stood and took 9 bullets in the shootout. He told the Sikhs to run into the temple. He told the other policemen to get out of the way. The man should get the biggest national medal possible. But do you think Obama would think of doing that?
Well, of course not.
His name is Brian Murphy. That's the hero cop. Served in the Marines. Military veteran. Military veteran. But of course, the rats in the San Francisco media saying the man who fatally shot 6 people at a Sikh temple was a white supremacist army vet. They get a 3-for out of it that way. They get the word white. They get the word army. They get the word veteran. What more could you ask for if you hate the country? What more can you ask for? But I want to remind you that, yes, it was a terrible thing, no question about it. And, yes, the lunatic thought they were Muslims. It wouldn't have mattered which way it was to him. They had beards and turbans. He didn't care. The lunatic shot them anyway. But if it wasn't for Brian Murphy, the white male cop who stood there shooting it out with him, who took 9 bullets, by the way, I wish that I knew how to raise money for him because I would. I mean, 9 bullets and he's still living? He took 9 bullets trying to stop the racist madman? Unbelievable. What can you say about Mars? Nothing. You're bored of it already. It's a nuclear-powered shuttle. Excuse me. It's a nuclear-powered rocket that went there, by the way. This journey took 8 months, and it traveled 352 million miles. And then it landed on Mars. The scientists who did this are geniuses. It's a nuclear-powered device the size of a small car, packed with scientific tools, cameras, and weather stations. It's going to be up there for years, sending down data from outer space. Cost $2.5 billion. Think of all the night basketball that was not conducted as a result of this. Think of all of the illegal aliens who could have been made citizens with this money. I mean, this is what Axelrod and Obama were thinking about.
Savage.
We've been talking about the double standard that the so-called media uses when reporting on violent incidences when a possible conservative is involved versus a possible leftist communist. Joining us now with his opinion on this very obvious bias is columnist Jack Hunter. Jack, what's your take on this?
You know, it's interesting, Michael, when this guy, this suspect, walked into the Family Research Center and with a backpack full of Chick-fil-A sandwiches, he has a history of being a gay rights activist, and opened fire on an unarmed security guard, saying something reportedly to the effect of, "I don't like your politics." I'm not sure how he said it, but that's what the local authority said that he said. You know, you didn't hear as much in the media out there about crazed liberal gunmen open fires on conservative organization. And in fact, the evening that it happened, I was sitting in a local restaurant with some friends discussing, and nobody had heard of this. Now, you and I both know that if the ideologies were sort of written reverse, and this had been somebody who is on the right or considered on the right or right wing in some respect, walking into a liberal organization or a Planned Parenthood or something like that and committing a violent act, it would have been national news. You would have heard nothing from the liberal media for weeks on end about how the Tea Party and Michael Savage and talk radio and, you know, the grassroots right is responsible for this sort of thing. The hypocrisy is glaring. Probably the best thing to compare it to is how the media sort of treated the Jared Lee Loeffner shooting when he shot Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords and nearly killed her and did kill 6 other people. We heard nothing, but, you know, for a good month at least, that this was the fault of Sarah Palin because Sarah Palin's PAC group had used target images over certain congressional districts, including Gabrielle Giffords. So somehow Jared Lee Loeffner must be carrying out the wishes of Sarah Palin. We heard from the left that this was the Tea Party's doing, that the rhetoric was, you know, just so ramped up and so crazy and so out there that this is what drove Jared Lee Loeffner to try to attempt to murder Gabrielle Giffords. Well, lo and behold, Loeffner's politics were not even discernible. I think he listed two of his favorite books as being The Communist Manifesto and Mein Kampf. I don't know what you do with that. But the larger story is, the left was just quick to jump all over this. This is the fault of the grassroots right. This is the fault of the Tea Party. This is the fault of Sarah Palin, without any logic to back it up. And there was a liberal echo chamber. People talk about the right-wing, vast right-wing conspiracy. The vast left-wing conspiracy had already convicted the American right and being complicit in the shooting of Gabrielle Giffords. Now, looking at it through the lens of what happened at the Family Research Center, that seems completely absurd. Yet, you know, the Family Research Center president, Tony Perkins, has singled out groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center for designating the Family Research Center as a hate group, and he's absolutely right to do that. But you don't see conservatives saying, well, this is the fault of the entire left. This is the fault of the entire gay rights movement, that this crazy person walked into the Family Research Center and opened fire. Why? Because we are rational. We realize that crazy people are going to do crazy things. General American public political discourse is not what incites crazy people to do crazy things. Crazy people can listen to anything and go do crazy things.
Well, like what?
Well, let's use another example, Michael. Do you remember in 1995 when Timothy McVeigh blew up the building in Oklahoma City, the greatest act of domestic terrorism and national tragedy on American soil before 9/11 happened? President Bill Clinton at that time was quick to blame, you know, the grassroots conservatives and particularly talk radio, that somehow talk radio had fueled this hate and had driven Timothy McVeigh somehow to murder these innocent people. Now, talk radio is part of our general American public discourse, the debates we have in this country. You have a left and you have a right. We've been debating things for decades and decades, and that will continue long after you and I are no longer around. The idea that somehow you or others in talk radio would incite somebody like Timothy McVeigh because you're critical of a President Clinton or today a President Obama, and you call them out on their awful policies and their bad ideas and their socialist tendencies. The idea that you can't say these things, that you're being irresponsible because you might incite somebody like Timothy McVeigh or, you know, a Jared Lee Loeffner, you know, a decade and a half later, is completely absurd. What they're basically saying is, conservatives shouldn't have a viewpoint. You shouldn't even be able to speak, lest some crazy person go out and do something. That's the entire point. Crazy people are always going to take ideas and think of them in crazy ways and commit heinous acts. This could happen on the left or right, a lesson that the left has learned quickly with this Family Research Center shooting. And once again, you don't hear conservatives saying, this is the fault of the entire left, all liberals are to blame for this, because we are rational and they are not.
Well, you talk about a classic double standard.
Well, because the left always has that double standard. A group like the Southern Poverty Law Center is very, you know, indicative of that. They think that people who are against homosexual marriage, which is a completely legitimate viewpoint, the law in 40 states in this country, at least at this point, was the view of the President Obama until a few months ago, that marriage between a man and a woman, that is enough to designate the Southern Poverty Law, excuse me, the Family Research Center, in the eyes of the Southern Poverty Law Center, is a hate group. I believe even people like Fox News Judge Andrew Napolitano has been targeted by the SPLC as a hate group. That gives you an idea of just how crazy they are. When you look at the left and things like this new Black Panther Party and these people saying they're going to, you know, skin white babies or target white people, and it gets ignored, it shows you just how rampant the hypocrisy is. That's some pretty heady stuff. That's some pretty violent language. And here we are. You know, you're hearing all about, you know, conservatives might be going crazy in reaction to gay rights activists, whatnot, whatnot. And this new Black Panther Party says this thing and it's hardly any coverage. Why? Because it doesn't fit into the left's narrative of what they want us to believe, what they want us to think about. And their minds, conservatives are awful, you know, under the underbelly of American life in general are these secret militias and neo-Nazis and KKK, and there's a direct line to them, to the Tea Party, and what we represent and what you talk about, Michael, that's how they think. So when people do that on the left, the new Black Panther Party and their outrageous comments, they just kind of ignore it. It doesn't exist. You know, white people are bad, we're racist, you know, Mitt Romney's racist, however you want to look at it. That's their mindset. But when people on the other side say things that are equally, if not more outrageous, well, that doesn't fit into our narrative. As leftists, they think to themselves, well, they just ignore it. It doesn't exist. It's that hypocritical.
Mm-hmm.
I think an awful lot of this, too, Michael, is viewing things from an individual or individualistic perspective, as conservatives do, and a collectivist perspective, as liberals often do. When a heinous crime, a random act of violence, takes place, liberals can't imagine that some individual on their own accord did something bad and must pay the price. It has to be the collective's fault. Who made them do this? Who gave them such rhetoric? Whereas conservatives, though we recognize that, you know, actions and movements and ideologies can drive people to do certain things, we realize at the end of the day that people are responsible for their own actions. If an individual has a particular point of view and decides to target innocent people or shoot somebody in the name of that point of view, we recognize that that person's crazy. Rational people do not act that way. And I think that has a lot to do with how we cover these stories in the news, how they're viewed in our politics in general, just sort of the left side idea that everything must be collective. There must be a collective answer to this tragedy, and conservatives rightly believing that individuals are ultimately responsible for their own actions.
Jack Hunter, thanks for being with us on the Savage Nation.
Always good to be with you, Michael. And if you want to learn about this and more, I encourage your listeners to visit SouthernAvenger.com. Y'all take care.
I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
.1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. There are many things we can talk about other than the Sikh shooting. If you want to talk about the Sikh shooting, I'll do so. It's worth talking about. It's worth talking about, and we should talk about it. We should talk about the anti-American, anti-white Southern Poverty Law Center and why they have injected themselves into this tragedy. Why are they politicizing this? Who is the SPLC? What do they have to do with our government? Why are they advising our government? Well, listen to me. I know people in the media who I trust who told me these things would be happening. They didn't know where, when, or how. They predicted that there would be incidents like this leading up to the election. And they also predict it's going to get worse before the election. They don't know how, when, or why. I mean, I've had people say to me, these people are mind controlled by the CIA. I don't believe it. They're releasing them like in the movie theater, that nut, this nut, trying to send them out there to cause havoc and mayhem in order to scare people. Because the more scared people are, the more likely they are to vote for Obama. I've heard people say that. Do I agree with them? No. No, I don't agree with them. But people are saying it. And you should know that, incidentally. So let's take some callers on this issue. New York City, W.R. Jagdeet. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, doctor. I, you know, even has no race, no color, no face, no belief system. The guy who cared about evil, my heart goes out to the officer who took 9 bullets. Most probably he saved 9 more lives. Mm-hmm. I admire the courage of this man, what sacrifice he gave to save the innocent people.
Mm-hmm.
And
Jagdish, you said that the man who did the shooting had no religion. Is that what you believe?
I don't think he believed in any God, because, you know, no matter what religious book you open, the very first thing every religion says, love and respect the others.
Yeah, absolutely. And, that's right. The first tenet of any religion is do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So by definition, this man was, I would say, an atheist.
He was, I mean, you know, even God, house of the God, he not say in these days. Earlier you were discussing about, you know, putting the security guard in front of the worship place. I happen to agree with you, because it's like, you know, this kind of crazy people, they're scaring the people off who do believe in God, who do believe in equality.
Yeah, but look, Jagdish, I hear you, but you can't trust in God in situations like this. You can't trust in God when you have godless people who are able to conduct a massacre like this. I think that people, especially in minority religions, really have to have the congregation raise the funds for armed security guards during worship services. And I'll leave it at that. That's my opinion. It's one man's opinion. That goes for Hindus, Muslims, Jews, Zoroastrians, Buddhists, if you feel that you are possibly subject to such a potential massacre. Why not? Why not use the congregation? The government can't protect you. You don't want the government standing outside a church with an armed soldier. I don't want that, and you don't want that. And the police are stretched too thin as it is. I think that you need to hire private armed security guards for a thing like this. That's my opinion. Tucson, Arizona, Trevor, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Wanted to comment on the shooting. Made me gasp for air and vomit in my mouth at the same time when I saw the coverage of the instant call of terrorism in this case, but in the Fort Hood shooting, it was workplace violence.
Yeah.
That
Yeah,
is
right.
Disgusting.
Workplace violence by a Muslim major who had been a ticking time bomb. The FBI was tracking him and did nothing out of fear that they would offend the Council on American-Islamic Relations and other Muslim pressure groups. That came out in a senatorial hearing 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that caught me instantly. This is terrorism. I'd like to comment on one other thing, if possible. What Romney, I believe, should say is, I will restore NASA's mission statement to what it formerly was.
Look, I agree with you. I wrote about it in Trickle Up Poverty and Trickle Down Tyranny. Obama destroyed NASA and turned us into a second-class interplanetary system. He made our astronauts buy tickets on a Russian spacecraft. How much more humiliating does it get than that? We were once the leaders in space exploration. Under Obama, we've become passengers on Russian shuttles. The man has a vendetta and an agenda that is so frightening that only Romney has the capacity to articulate it. Unfortunately, he's focused, and too hard, in my opinion, only on the economy. He doesn't understand that there's more than the economy at stake here. As I wrote in Trickle Down Tyranny, and pardon me, I haven't mentioned it in a while, because I think the opening line of Trickle Down Tyranny is one of the finest lines written in recent years, and here it is. Advice to the next president, Mitt. A Savage Worldview from Trickle Down Tyranny, in case you or one of your genius family members haven't yet read the book. Like the Bushes, I was writing one bestseller after another, and Laura Bush was a big librarian, yet she never heard of Michael Savage. Perhaps the Romneys never heard of Michael Savage and his best-selling books. But Mr. Romney, here's the first line. Economies can be rebuilt, armies can be repopulated, but once a nation's pride is gone, it can almost never be restored. The loss of a nation's honor is something not even centuries can repair. The next president must love America. The next president must embody unequivocally everything that is good about this country going back to its founding. The next president must be the exact opposite of Barack Obama. That's the opening to Trickle Down Tyranny. They're some of the finest words I've ever written. And again, I want to repeat, the Sikhs are amongst the most loving, kind people I've ever known or met. I haven't met a lot of Sikhs. I've known a few. It's an amazing religion. It's a monotheistic religion. It was an offshoot of Hinduism. It arose as a result of the injustices of the caste system in India at the time. They had terrible battles with the Indian Muslim mogul rulers. And as a result, the Sikh religion grew more militant. And the final founding leader of the Sikh religion, Guru Singh, commanded Sikhs to carry a kirpan or curved ceremonial dagger. And you know, and I don't mean any joke by it, nor any disrespect. The president of the congregation ran out to try and stop the shooter with a knife, and he got killed. I suggest that they update the weaponry from a curved dagger to a Smith & Wesson. That's what I believe. That's what I believe. They're incredible warrior people, by the way. The British Army, by the way, once formed a Sikh regiment that still exists in the Indian military, in case you don't know it. In fact, although the Sikhs comprise about 2% of India's population, the Sikhs make up a far higher percentage of the military because they are great soldiers. Anyway, that's a side note. There are dead people who did nothing to harm anybody. And who can you blame? Anybody you want to blame. But remember, the hero cop has a name. His name is Brian Murphy. He took 9 rounds in a shootout with the madman. He protected all the other Sikhs, and never forget that. At the same time, NASA lands on Mars. Lands on Mars. You know, and you look at the pictures of the NASA scientists at the laboratory, you see the men, it's almost all men scientists, waving American flags. Now you understand why the media won't cover the story of the Mars landing. It's like suddenly we're back again as America. When has Wolf Blitzer, when has he covered the Mars landing? When has he covered the celebration? When has he shown the male scientists waving American flags at the Mars Science Laboratory Curiosity team? When? When have you seen the men waving American flags? You haven't, because they don't want you to see pride in America. I mean, if you look at the photo provided by NASA at the of the Mars Science Laboratory team in the MSL mission support area, there's a huge American flag, and all the scientists are cheering and waving American flags in Pasadena, California. The rover was named Curiosity, and it's astounding where we are. Interplanetary travel is going to be definitely possible, possibly in the lifetime of some of the children listening to this program. You won't be here, probably the older guys won't, I won't be here. But people will be traveling into interplanetary travel. We're on the road. All we need is an American president who understands what America's all about, instead of a retrograde throwback who wants to bring us into a, let us say, a Marxist vision of a crippled world. 1-800-449-8255 is my phone number. The website is michaelsavage.com. The book is Trickle Down Tyranny. You're the callers. Portland, Oregon. Steve, welcome to the program. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Savage, you asked if the administration is adding to violent tensions. And the answer is definitely yes. This whole class warfare discussion is just race baiting in disguise. And as the election gets closer and closer, it will become more desperation time.
So, wait, are you saying that you believe the Obama administration is, in fact, engaging not only in class warfare, which is obvious, but also in race warfare?
He needs turnout, and so he needs to energize people to say, hey, this voter suppression that's going on, hey, those white people need to suppress you to keep you from the polls, just like Jim Crow. He's already said it.
Yes. Okay, so you agree with me. The evidence is clear that he is engaging in divisive behavior and divisive messaging. Thank you for the call. That's my position.
Savage.